Welcome to the Anxious ADHDer, the podcast for those of us living with a brain that doesn't always play by the rules. I'm Jess, and in this first episode, we are digging into something so many of us struggle with, the complicated relationship between ADHD and anxiety. So, if you've ever asked yourself, is it my ADHD or is it just anxiety? Then, my darlings, you have come to the right place. Let's talk about what happens when anxiety convinces you you're going to mess up a relationship. And you know what? Then you do, because you are so scared of it happening that you actually make it happen. That's called self-sabotage, baby. So here's the deal. I was dating someone who was actually really kind, communicated well, made space for me, no red flags, and that freaked me out. Like, I kept waiting for the moment that they'd realize I was too much. So instead of just enjoying the connection, my brain went into overdrive. I overanalyzed every message, assumed silence meant they were pulling away. So I got clingy. I'm reacting to my fear and what might happen. And yeah, it's going to be hard, but awareness is the first step, right, towards not blowing up a good thing out of fear it might not last. That is my story of the spiral of self-sabotage. So let's get into what ADHD and anxiety actually looks like when they show up together. Because on paper, they are two separate things. But in real life, they are a messy blur or just a mess that comes together, and it's just, yeah, they blur together in ways that are exhausting, confusing, and honestly, kind of bullshit sometimes. So let's get into the basics. ADHD is all about executive function, your brain's ability to plan, focus, remember things, manage time, regulate emotions. And you know what? Anxiety is rooted in fear, usually fear of something going wrong, fear of not being good enough, fear of being judged, or just constant sense of something's not right. So now imagine those two things are showing up at the same time. You've got one part of your brain going, we need to get this done right now. And another part being like, it's fine, it's cool. But how do I even start? Or what if I mess it up? And then you get to the vicious loop. So for a lot of us, it plays out a bit like this. You forget something, maybe a meeting, a deadline, a text. Total classic ADHD move, right? But then the anxiety kicks in. Why did I do that? Am I a terrible friend? Am I a terrible person? Am I going to lose my job? Are they mad at me? Then you start spiraling. And the more you spiral, the harder it becomes to focus or take action. That's the loop. ADHD makes it hard to execute. Anxiety makes it hard to relax. Together, my two A's, they trap me in this cycle of overthinking and underperforming, both professionally and personally. So here we go. You might be sitting down to write an email and suddenly realize you're second guessing every word. Is this too long? Is this too short? What if I've misread it? What if I sound unprofessional? So you save it in drafts. That's why I have about 30 draft emails. A lot of them I actually finish writing and just forget to send. Maybe you agree to plans with a friend, then the day off you're completely overwhelmed. You want to cancel, but you're terrified. They think you're flaky or unreliable. So instead of texting them, send this half-assed text, if you can do it, being like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then you internalize that guilt and shame and think, oh my gosh, they're going to be so mad at me. I've decided not to come. Or yeah, it goes on. Life goes on. And then you've got the internal chaos, right? So the thing is, on the outside, people might just see someone who's forgetful, flaky, or dramatic. But on the inside, it's like mental tennis or ping pong or something involving rackets. It's 10 open tabs in your brain and all of them are literally on fire. You want to do this thing. You know you need to do the thing, but you just can't. And the guilt from that, well, that's where the anxiety really comes into its own, because now it's not just the whole, I didn't reply to that email. No, I'm a mess and people are going to leave. So a lot of people get diagnosed with anxiety before ADHD, especially women. However, you know what? That wasn't the case of me, but I talked to a lot of people with anxiety and ADHD and they thought anxiety is a little bit more, I guess, acceptable, right? It's kind of weird. It looks quieter. It doesn't disrupt the classroom or workplace in the same way. But anxiety is secondary. It's a product of struggling with ADHD for years. Years of messing up, years of getting into trouble, feeling behind, thinking it's all your fault. And yeah, I was diagnosed early, but that didn't stop the self-hatred, the self-sabotage, me thinking that I'm not good enough and then resulting in not being good enough. So when ADHD and anxiety show up together, it's not just about forgetfulness, nervousness. It's I can't focus. I'm terrified of the consequences of that. It's, I want to get things done, but my brain won't let me. And now I am spiraling, my darlings. I am spiraling out of control. Let's talk about what it's like trying to hold down a relationship when your brain is constantly swimming between chaos and overthinking. Because honestly, I didn't realize how much my ADHD and anxiety were shaping that relationship until it unfortunately ended. My ex was not a bad person. You know what? I wasn't either. But my brain, it was loud. It was loud with fear, loud with guilt, loud with thoughts like, I'm too much. I'm a burden. I'm going to mess this up. I overthought everything, everything. Every pause in a conversation, if they seemed off, I'd spiral. I'd assume it was me. I'd replay everything I said, then shut it down because I couldn't fix it. I tried so hard to be easy, to not ask for reassurance, not show that I was struggling, but it would build up. I'd bottle things up until I snapped, or I'd just go off in my own little world when I couldn't keep up, you know, the mask I was trying to hold. And I can't even count how many times that I missed something that you've said, not just because I didn't care, but because ADHD hijacked my time, my memory, and my focus, and anxiety filled me the rest of the space with real shame. And when it ended, my first reaction wasn't even heartbreak. It was, of course, I ruin everything. But that really wasn't the truth. The truth is I was trying to love someone while constantly at war with my own nervous system. Tricky, I know. In reflection, I kind of wish I had understood my brain better. I wish I had the tools that I'm just starting to learn. If you lost someone because of the way your brain works, then you get it. That kind of grief is complicated. But it doesn't mean that you're unlovable. It doesn't mean that you can't do better next time. It just means you're still learning how to show up as your full self. And you know what? That takes time. So to my ex, this is not about blame. This is not me asking for another chance. It's just something I wish I could have said during our time together when I had the words. I don't really have the words now, but I'm going to say it. So, you know I overreacted. I didn't always know how to be close without losing control. My anxiety told me I wasn't good enough for you. My ADHD made me miss things. And then I ended up hating myself for it. I was constantly fighting my brain, trying to convince you. I was trying to convince myself that everything was okay, when really I was just overwhelmed that you'd see too much of the real me and leave. The truth pushed too far, constantly asking for reassurance to protect myself. And you deserved a better version of me. I'm not writing this to fix anything. I just want you to know, I see it now. Maybe next time I'll be able to show up fully for someone else, or maybe finally for myself. So wherever you are, I hope you're doing okay. And I hope you know I tried, even if it didn't always look like it. So let's look about what ADHD and anxiety actually looks like. Not in some like medical chart, booklet, brochure, whatever, but in actual real life. Because if you're listening to this podcast, there's a really good chance you've asked yourself, is this really who I am? Is this my brain like working against me? And you know what, my darlings? Here is the truth. ADHD and anxiety don't always show up in obvious ways. A lot of the time, they're hidden behind things that we've been told are just personality traits or bad habits, but they're not. They're patterns. And you know what? They are exhausting. So ADHD might look like, you know, struggling to get to start things, even though there are things you want to getting distracted mid-task, end up hyper-focusing on some random art piece instead of like, you know, replying to a text or cleaning your surfaces or whatever, being late because you actually thought you had more time. Yeah, this always happens to me. Saying yes to plans when you're excited, and then when the time comes, you're just like, oh, really? Ugh. And you're feeling like your brain is always on shuffle all of the time. Too many tabs are open and none of them are loading properly. And then you forget things constantly. And then you just apologize, and then it just gets annoying. Ugh. On the other hand, anxiety looks like anxiety is a different kettle of fish, but it also looks like one way. So you replay one comment you made 3 days ago and wondering, do they secretly hate me now? You're overthinking every decision and literally making none. I'm so indecisive. It's appalling. You're apologizing for things that don't need to be apologized because you're afraid of upsetting people. You're waking up tense, like you're behind before the day even starts. And then you're feeling like something's always wrong, even when you can't name what. So together, ADHD and anxiety looks like, you know I need to do this thing, but I can't start it. Now I'm panicked about when I have to start it, so I avoid it longer. And now I literally hate myself for avoiding it, which just makes starting feel so impossible. My darlings, does that sound familiar? Because it kind of sounds a little bit familiar for me. So you're like being frozen. You're frozen and you're frantic at the same time, and your brain just wants stimulation. But you know what? It can't handle it. No way. And you want to rest, but you can't relax, and it's overthinking and it's underperforming. And you're feeling like you're failing at everything, but you're really unsure how to fix any of it. So you miss a deadline. You feel awful. You swear you do better next time. The next time, you're even more anxious, which makes you avoid the task again. And then the cycle repeats. So what people don't see, from the outside, it may look like the whole, oh, she's just flaky, she's dramatic, she's not trying hard enough. But what people don't see is the amount of energy it takes to function, to get out of bed, to stay emotionally regulated, to show up when your brain is close to chaos. So if this is you and you're like, yeah, this is me, you're nodding along, little nodded dogs. I just thought of Churchill, the dog nodder. Anyway, what am I even saying? But yeah, if this is you right now, I just want to say you're not lazy. You're not broken. You're not too much. You're just living in a nervous system that is on high alert for so long. And just naming that, it's a huge first step. It's a huge first step for me. And you know what? We're going to keep talking about it episode by episode, because you and I deserve better, because we all deserve to understand our brains and just not fight, constantly fight against it. So before I recorded this episode, I was in a little bit of an anxiety meltdown, a breakdown. And I was like, hey, Jess, you got to like do a bit of research. You got to get on Google, Mother Google, as I call her, which literally I don't even know why I call her. Maybe because I makes me sound interesting. I don't know. But I went on Mother Google, right? The mother of all Googles, whatever. And I was like, hey, how the hell do I break this ADHD anxiety spiral without burning out? And you know what? She came up with some interesting pointers. So you know what? I'm just going to just list them off. Have my own flavor to it. You know, now we've talked about what ADHD and anxiety looks like. Let's talk about how to deal with them when they just kind of team up together. Like, I don't know, what, two really ugly teams. I don't know, like I just immediately thought the Mitchell brothers, but if you're not British, you will not get that. But yeah, let's just say the Mitchell brothers, right? The two thumbs. I'm not saying that ADHD anxiety are like two thumbs. What am I saying? I'm just saying the ugly sides of those, of my two A's. When they team up together, they literally make your life feel like a non-stop brain spiral, because honestly, just knowing what's going on isn't enough. You need tools, and I'm trying to seek those tools out. And you know what? Hopefully I can share them with you. These tools maybe can be like tiny ones, like not massive ones, unrealistic routines, which is kind of what I sometimes do. I'm just like, right, I need to change it, so I'm gonna set my list of all these things I need to change about myself. Oh, and it's like so much, and you're just like, what the hell, I'm so broken, Jesus, how am I gonna change this much about myself? But you know what? Thinking about it now, looking at it now, I'm like, yeah, why do you always do this? Let's start small. Let's start simple. What Mother Google told me was the ADHD anxiety spiral kind of looks like this. You know, you're overwhelmed, you avoid, you anxiety increases, you feel guilt and shame, and then that shuts down motivation and you avoid more. It just loops around, isn't it? Like a little loopy loop. And you know what? Because ADHD makes starting things hard, anxiety makes waiting painful. You know, when you're waiting for something, like even waiting, worrying is more painful than actually getting the result. And you know, if the result's negative, you know, that can be painful too. But if the worst case scenario does happen, at least you know it, right? In a way, it's kind of a relief because you can deal with what's happened. It's weird. Like, my brain's friggin' weird. But, you know, basically, when you're stuck between two forces, two of the bull-thumbed Mitchell brothers pulling in opposite directions, you know, that's when the spiral, it begins. So how do you break that spiral? As I said before, small and doable moves. Thank you, Google. So here's some like divergent friendly strategies that I saw, and I thought, yeah, let's share them. Let's share them with my audience. So first of all, one strategy says, you've got to name what's happening. So I had a very interesting conversation with my therapist, and she said, like, Jess, it's all about how to break this with small, doable moves. So here are some really small, friendly, doable moves, strategies that I can share, that I will share, just like they were shared to me. And hopefully now I can implement them. Fingers crossed. So first of all, she said, just like name what's happening. I immediately was like, door, because I was looking at a door and it was like, well, what are you doing? But yeah, first of all, you have to name it, right? Be like, I'm spiraling, you know, and I would love to say that I implement this now, but I don't. But, you know, the tool is there and I'm going to try and implement it. And, you know, hopefully you guys can too. But naming the spiral, the loop, is something, you know, you name it and you know what it is and you can go with it. It kind of puts a distance, she said, between you and that shame. And it's not you, it's your nervous system doing what it always does when it's overloaded. Thanks, Chelsea. You're a dream. And then she said about picking the easiest possible starting point, not the whole let's clean everything from top to bottom. Just like move this manky cup to the sink. Just don't reply to all emails. Just open your inbox. Like, your brain needs proof that it's safe to do one step. And often one step is all it takes, really, to calm your spiral just enough to keep you going. So then there's a regulate before you try and focus. Chelsea said to try and focus yourself to be productive while you're anxious. Like, it's trying to, you know, what do you build a house somewhere? Build a house in a storm? I don't know. Basically, you got to pause and regulate first. This might look like 10 deep breaths, making tea, texting a friend, just saying, hey, my brain is like spiraling right now, like, ah, help, help. And then it's about the compassion cue. So the anxiety lies to us and says, you always do this, you never change, you're the problem. So it's all about building a cue or a mantra that interrupts that voice, I guess, like, you know, reassuring you, saying you can start again at any point. And, you know, this is hard, but it's not hopeless. So I don't need to fix my ADHD to get rid of my anxiety, to live a life, or, you know, for you guys to live a life that we actually enjoy. I guess we just need to learn how to recognize this spiral, interrupt it with kindness, and keep showing up in tiny ways that add up over time. And yeah, I never seem to stop the spiral. But a few times it has worked. And when it doesn't, that doesn't make me weak, or doesn't make you guys weak. It just makes us people, right? You know, who is it who said, like, there's a reason I put erasers on the end of pencils, because people make mistakes. And, you know, especially someone with a nervous system that's always been working overtime, sometimes you won't be able to stop the spiral. So spiraling isn't a personality, it's a pattern. So you've got to start small, and you're not going to be perfect. And that 1 minute reset can save you. I'm going to try it next time I spiral. So if this episode is kind of like, you know, I'll say push some buttons, but that's kind of a negative. If this episode has resonated with you guys, just like it resonated with me when I was recording it, looking into Pandora's box ain't pretty, then basically you're not alone. I'm not alone in this. Over the course of these episodes, I'm going to be like diving deeper into topics like procrastination, perfectionism, and how to calm the racing brain. That's coming up in future episodes. So until then, you've got this. Take a deep breath, drink some water, don't be like your dehydrated friend here, and just think to yourself, you know what, you're doing better than you think. If you like this, share it with a friend, and I'll see you next week.